What is up, Grizz Tribe? This is Matt Dobschutz. It's not Jason George. I'm sitting in for Jason. He is not feeling that great today. And he said, hey, Dobber, could you get on the Grizz podcast? Bring a message for the Grizz Tribe. Could you bring the noise? You know, and so I actually, it's interesting. I had an idea that I wanted to share, and it comes from a story in my life. And so the name of this podcast is The Greatest Enemy of the Spiritual Life. And I want to tell you how I learned about this enemy, how I learned about what this thing was that was dragging my spiritual life down. And let me tell you the story real quick, and then we'll get started with the show. So let me set the scene. So for many years, I struggled with pornography. And I was a Christian kid. I grew up in a Christian home. But I was just drawn to it. I started seeking it out. I would hide it. I'd lie about it. I just got trapped by it. And there was a ton of shame around this. And early in my marriage, my wife caught me, and it was just this big exposing moment where she found out about my secret, and some good came out of that. I started going to a recovery group, and I really started getting a handle on the behavior, and I was learning stuff, and it was actually a real powerful thing in my spiritual life. But there were a few times in those early days of recovery where I would fall back into the pattern of looking at porn and have a relapse. And these relapses didn't last long, but they were characterized by me going to my wife at some point when I kind of got a hold of myself to confess what I had done, that I had kind of crossed my boundaries, or I had gone back, or slipped in recovery. And one particular time, I had a relapse when I was unemployed. And there was just a lot of feelings that I was managing related to rejection. You know how when you have to look for a job, and I had been laid off my other job. And so, you know, it's like I already felt sort of beat up, and now I'm having to go sell myself, you know, and send out resumes and stuff like that. So I was just really having a hard time. And I conceived of a way to act out. And I had a lot of boundaries in place right then, back then. And so I acted out, and I felt horrible about it. So I go to tell my wife, and I just start weeping. I'm just like sobbing. I'm crying so much that she actually gets concerned for me. You know, she's like, what's wrong? You know, because at first she was sort of annoyed, you know, you acted out again. Oh, great. But because I was sobbing so much, she actually stopped and said, what's wrong? And I kept saying to her, why? Why? That's the only word I could get out. And I finally was able to get out a whole sentence. And I said, why do you love me? And in that moment, I realized that I felt unlovable, that I really was asking that question from a real vulnerable place, a core place in my identity. I was asking, why do you love me? And the interesting thing is I realized that I had this core belief that I was unlovable. And, but I didn't quite understand it then, how that affected me, that belief. And like a lot of you guys, you know, I sort of spiritualized even this confession. I thought that all these tears, all this sobbing, this uncontrollable emotion, I actually thought it was what the scripture calls the godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Because I felt like I was falling apart, breaking apart when I was talking to my wife. But I realized it was something completely different. I realized then that the thing that I was feeling was the greatest enemy of our spiritual life. And I'm going to get into that after we play the music. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw. It's gonna be real. And it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
What's the move, man?
Well, welcome to the Grizz Podcast. I'm not Jay. I'm not Jason George, my brother from another mother. I'm Matt Dobschutz, and you know, I host a podcast called Porn Free Radio, which Jason has been on, and I've been on the Grizz Podcast. But this message is for the Grizz tribe today. This isn't a Porn Free Radio episode. This is about something I wanted to share with you guys about the greatest enemy of the spiritual life and how I learned about this enemy. And it might not be what you think, actually. So hang on, we'll get to that in a second. Hey, I want to shout out some of the great stuff that Jason is doing. You can get all the information about this podcast at thegrizzpodcast.com. It's thegrizz, G-R-I-Z, podcast.com. You got to get that the in there too. And one of the cool things that Jason is doing every week is he's sending out a cool newsletter. And I forget the name of it now. Jeez, I'm trying to write it down in my notes. I think it's called like the Manly Growl, you know, because he loves that grizzly sound. So you got to get on this newsletter. He's sending out cool quotes. Sometimes they're spiritual quotes. Sometimes they're manly quotes. And then he shares, you know, like his favorite hunting supplies and things like that. Now, I grew up in the city. I grew up listening to like rap music and riding a skateboard. I know nothing about hunting knives or deer stands. I do know about coffee though. I love coffee. So I don't totally get down with all that outdoors stuff, but I love just the positivity, and I love some of the stuff that he brings. And so get to thegrizzpodcast.com. You know, sign up for his newsletter, sign up to be a supporter of what he's doing here on the Grizz Podcast. And this is episode 106 of the Grizz Podcast. And so let's get right into it. I teed up that story. And so here's what's going on. You know, I'm realizing as I'm asking my wife, why do you love me? I'm realizing there's this core belief that I'm unlovable. And I realized that this goes back to probably childhood. There's this piece of me that felt kind of missed or unseen. There was some trauma in my family that happened. Who knows what it was? It was just sort of a little bit of a place where this belief got in, and it's kind of how I grew up. It was this idea that somehow at my core, I was unlovable. And it led to me a lot of times seeking out porn and porn behaviors as a way to sort of feel good enough or to feel affirmed or nurtured. And I've since realized a lot of my pursuit of porn was not just, you know, some sort of perverted horniness or just temptation, you know, and, you know, the kind of typical ways we talk about lust. What I realized, it was a need. It was need-based. I wanted to feel intimacy. I wanted to feel love. I wanted to feel this really powerful connection and nurture. And you know, one mistake Christian guys make all the time is they reject, and I did this for years, they assume because lust is involved, and then, you know, lust being sin, that kind of thing, that that's just this horrible thing that they just need to avoid, which they do. Except one thing is they in their attempt to try to eliminate it from their life, they ignore the needs, right? So it would be like, what if I'm trying to get this need met of nurture, of feeling loved, of intimacy, and that's a legitimate need that God gave us, and yet what I'm doing is, because I'm calling this a battle and I'm thinking of everything related to this as sin, then I miss the fact that there's these legitimate needs that God really wants to meet in us. That's a sidebar. We could come back to that. But that's the idea, is like, I realized there were these powerful needs that I was trying to get met in that behavior. Now, it wasn't working, right? Because that's the thing we realize about porn and porn behaviors is they don't ever really satisfy. They never really meet the need that they promised to meet. So let me take you back to that scene. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm asking my wife, why do you love me? I'm realizing I feel unlovable. And but yet I went away from that experience thinking, well, this was a breakthrough because I was able to get in touch with this belief, and all these tears must be my repentance. It must be sort of this godly sorrow rising up in me that leads to repentance. But that's not what it was. So I was reading years later a book by Henry Nouwen called Life of the Beloved. Now, he was a priest. He's since passed. But he was writing a letter to a friend. This is the formation of this book. He had an agnostic friend who lived in New York, and he was trying to write a book that explained the spiritual life to this agnostic, maybe an atheist guy. And I don't think the book was that successful totally, but there was one paragraph that just hit me like a lightning bolt. And I'm going to read it slowly right now and break down why it exposed something that was really powerful that I never saw prior to this point. So here's what Henry Nouwen writes. He said, "Over the years, I've come to realize that the greatest trap in our life is self-rejection. As soon as someone accuses me or criticizes me, as soon as I am rejected, left alone, or abandoned, I find myself thinking, well, that proves once again that I'm a nobody. My dark side says, I'm no good. I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved constitutes the core of our existence." So the reason this hit me like a lightning bolt was, when I thought back to that story, I thought, oh, well, I got this breakthrough that I was believing a lie that I was unlovable, and that was good. It was good to know that was sort of this mistaken belief that I had. But I still somehow interpreted all those tears and all that sort of drama as godly sorrow that leads to repentance. But when I read this, what I realized was all those tears, all that drama, all that sort of convulsion that I had wasn't godly sorrow that leads to repentance. I mean, there was some repentance there and there was some guilt, but that was shame. That was shame that I misinterpreted. And I'll tell you why. It's because whenever I would confess to my wife, I would feel at a core level that I was unlovable. And in a way, by confessing what I had done, it was almost like I was like, here's why I'm unlovable. What kind of guy who's married and loves his wife would do this thing? Only a guy who's a, well, I don't want to swear on Jason's show, but, you know, only a guy who's a piece of, you know what? So in a weird way, my confession and even my sort of attempt to be pure or to follow that sort of confession and repentance that we see in Christian men's groups, right? The thing we're supposed to do, right? Go to your accountability partner and tell them what happened. I realized even in that, which is a good thing, I think confession is a good thing, I was still sinning. I was hanging on to the lie that I was unlovable. I was actually trying to do recovery. You know, so think about this, right? I'm trying to get free from porn, which comes out of this core feeling of feeling unlovable, right? What am I trying to escape? What am I trying to numb? What am I trying to feed? That feeling of being unlovable. And yet, as I was trying to do recovery, I was still telling myself the lie that I was unlovable. I'm crying on the couch. I'm convulsing. I'm desperate to try to understand why my wife loves me. The reason why is I don't believe it. I don't believe that I'm beloved. At my core, even in purity, even in sobriety, I still feel unlovable. And I see this happening all the time. Guys are uncomfortable, obviously, acting out with porn and doing all these things, whether it's, you know, sexual addiction or whether it's lust or pornography or whatever it is, right? They know that that doesn't work and that's sinful and that's not in alignment with how they feel called to be as a Christian guy. And yet, in recovery, they don't embrace the idea that they're beloved. They just basically keep the lie and just try to will themselves into obedience, which is actually sort of like legalism, right? You still are defining yourself based on what you can do or what you can't do. It's based on you, and you're still agreeing with the lie that you're unlovable. So I realized that's what I was doing, actually. All that through a lot of my early recovery, even though I was focused on purity, focused on sobriety, I still was telling myself that I'm unlovable, even in recovery. And that's why this quote was so freeing for me, because I realized this is what I'm doing. I'm going through life with this sense of self-rejection, living in this core existence that I'm unlovable. And of course, when anyone accuses me or criticizes me, or I feel rejected, left alone, or abandoned, I get totally triggered. Why? Because I feel it sort of proves that I'm a nobody. Like, I was going through life looking for confirmation that I was unlovable, that I'm no good, that I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned, because that's how I felt. But now it says self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us beloved. Being the beloved constitutes the core of our true existence. So the truth is, that's the core of my existence. You know, now in of course, is referencing Mark 1:11, when it says, "A voice came from the heavens saying, 'You are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased.'" You know, this voice comes from heaven as Jesus is sort of called out. And he has that same sacred voice is calling us beloved. And I realized that by agreeing with the lie that I was unlovable, it was actually contradicting God's voice in my life. It was actually a competing commitment, right? I knew on some core, I knew like theoretically that I was loved by God and accepted and created by him and called beloved. And I knew my wife loved me and I knew friends loved me and I knew I was worthy of love. And yet I was like, but I'm really unlovable. And hanging on to that belief actually was the enemy of my spiritual life. I was avoiding that true spiritual life. And, you know, that's one of the gifts that I've found in walking out in recovery is discovering more of my true connection with God, my true identity, and even with others. You know, that was just such a powerful thing for me, such a big breakthrough. You know, and Jesus says something that I love. There's a verse that I love. It's John 15:16. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So wherever you ask the Father in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." You know, I think a lot of us tell ourselves this story that, you know, we're calling all the shots, right? We're choosing to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Remember that old hymn, right? And then we're just going to try to be obedient. We're just going to try to show up and clean ourselves, make, you know, kind of be just good Christian guys. But we forget, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you." It's the same way that voice comes down from heaven and says, you know, "You're my beloved son." God calls us into that relationship. We don't earn our way into that. We don't, we have to know that our belovedness, right? Our sonship, our appointedness. Wait, I don't even know where I'm going with these words. That we were chosen, that God called us out, that the core of our existence comes from him calling us, not us calling to him. So let me tell you, so one of the things I talk about on my podcast a lot is my why. And this is my why for being porn free and for eliminating porn from my life. And the why is simply this. I'm committed to being porn free because I'm sick and tired of agreeing with the lie that I'm unlovable. And I want to be the same on the inside and the outside in my life. Simply put, that's my mission statement for myself in recovery. Now, I used to say I'm sick and tired of feeling unlovable. Or if I was being honest, being unlovable, because again, that's sort of the core of my existence. But I realized that's not what I'm sick and tired of. Because first of all, that's not true. I'm sick and tired of when I'm tempted to agree with the lie that I'm unlovable, whether it's in a confession with my wife or whether it's in front of the computer, clicking on something. Whenever I'm agreeing with that lie that I'm unlovable, that's the part that I don't want anymore in my life. I do not want any room for that lie to creep in or to control what I do, think, say, etc. I don't want to give that any room, because that is the enemy of the spiritual life for me, when I agree with the lie that I'm unlovable, because that contradicts the sacred voice that says I'm beloved. And I want to be the same on the inside as on the outside. Now, if you think about it, one of the reasons why we struggle with being honest, even in confession, is because we tell ourselves if people really knew what we did, or we would be unacceptable. We would be what? Unlovable. And so we hide. We hide the truth. We hide our needs. You know, we hide sin. We hide. And we hang on to the lie that we're unlovable when we do that. And so the same on the inside and the outside is, I want to be the same guy. I want to be this. I don't want to be a different guy in secret. And if you're not, if you don't realize that this is what you want to be operating out of that identity of being beloved, then that idea of being the same on the inside and the outside is really scary, because you're still probably invested in the idea of, I want people to see me one way. I don't want them to see the real me. And again, when we do that, when we put on a show, when we show people one thing and have something else going on in our life, what are we doing? We're basically saying, I'm unlovable, so I'm going to show you this acceptable image. I'm going to present the good Christian guy, the pastor, the youth pastor, the elder, the guy in the band who plays the worship songs, right? I'm going to give you 10,000 reasons. Matt Redman, shout out there. I'm going to give you 10,000 reasons to not know, to not see the real me. I'm going to show you all this good stuff up here, but I'm going to hide the real part of me. Why? Because I'm still entrenched in the idea that I'm unlovable. And you can't see the real me. And I'm going to hang on to all these behaviors that I, you know, try to make myself feel better. It's scary. It's scary to let go of that. It's scary to let go of that identity and accept this new identity that isn't dependent on us, that totally comes from God. So let me tell you, I'm going to finish with a real practical application of this. So this is just in the last year. So, you know, if you listen to Porn Free Radio, my recovery stories go back to 2001, sometimes even earlier than that, because there were things that I did as a younger person to try to get free that didn't work or sort of worked. And so I have many years of talking about these things. So, but this is more recent, but I'm going to show you how this practically lines up. So when I first got in recovery, I started going to bed with my wife. It was just kind of a habit that I picked up that served me well, because a lot of my acting out happened late at night after she went to bed. And so I just made a commitment to go to bed when she went to bed. And that was one way I kept myself safe in the early days. And so I've been pretty much doing this for about 20 years, but you know, every once in a while, my wife taps out early. Like, I think she went to bed this particular night at like maybe 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30. And if I go to bed at 8:30, I'm going to just be laying there for hours. And it's funny. I've developed all these things I can do in bed. I'll listen to a podcast sometimes, or I'll have a Kindle book, or I have a book light so I can read. And I've done all those things. But this particular night we were watching TV and I felt a little rejected when she said she was going to bed. And I was sitting there, and my wife and I, here's another tool that we use. We watch television by appointment. So this means we don't typically watch live TV. We just watch what's ever on our DVR that's been pre-recorded, or we're watching a series together and we just press play on the next episode, we're not like channel surfing, trying to figure out stuff to watch. We're just watching what's ever in our queue. And my wife is really disciplined. She'll watch like one episode and then she'll be like, okay, TV off. So that's kind of how we watch TV. So she goes to bed. I'm feeling kind of rejected. And I start channeling up. You ever done this? Like I'm just kind of mindlessly watching TV and I'm channeling up. And we had one of these back then, we had a, you know, one of these 300 channel cable packages. So I don't even know some of the channels because again, we've been episodically watching shows or DVRing things. So I didn't even know some of the networks. So I'm clicking up and I land on one of these celebrity TV shows. You can probably guess which one it was, but it's a celebrity TV show where they follow around some pretty celebrity women. And, you know, I just stopped the channel, right? And for the next, I'd say 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. I don't want to misrepresent. It could have been 10 minutes. I just find myself getting drawn in to this little, this TV show. And, you know, I remember that they were shopping and they were just going in the stores and they were looking at handbags. And I don't think they tried on clothes, but they were, you know, they're just kind of walking and talking and they're these pretty women. And I just found myself getting more and more invested in watching this. And then something just clicked. You're believing the lie that you're unlovable right now. And I kind of like thought to myself, I'm like, am I doing that? And I go, I think I am. I turned off the TV. Here's why. I realized that it was just like the now unquote. My wife went to bed and I started immediately feeling kind of rejected. I started feeling abandoned and left alone. I literally was left alone. And I just started thinking, well, that proves it, right? It that core belief started to feel more true. And so I probably, as I'm channeling up, I'm starting to agree with that old core belief that I'm unlovable. And all of a sudden I find this inviting show with these pretty women and I'm watching it. And what am I wanting? I'm wanting that pretty celebrity's body and her image and her, whatever she's doing. It's like, I'm wanting her to make me feel lovable, to that somehow her body and her beauty is going to affirm me or make me not feel alone or whatever. Except when I do that, when I sit on that channel, I'm agreeing with the lie that I'm unlovable. I'm right back into the greatest trap. That's the enemy of my spiritual life, agreeing with that lie. So I turned off the TV and I did not turn off the TV out of a sense of piety.
Oh, this is lustful behavior and I'm going to turn it off and flee temptation.
No, I did not do it out of fidelity. My beautiful wife is upstairs and I must turn this off because of my duty as a faithful husband. Thou shalt not have any beautiful women that I look at, you know, whatever, right? It didn't come from that. Now, those are legitimate reasons. But why did I turn it off? Because I've gotten to a point in my life where I do not want to accept agreeing with the lie that I'm unlovable anymore. I'm sick of that. I'm sick and tired of agreeing with the lie that I'm unlovable. And I want to be the same on the inside as on the outside. I want to be the same guy watching TV with my wife when she's sitting on the couch as the guy sitting on the couch watching TV by himself. I want to be the same guy. I don't want to make different decisions, and I don't want to agree with the lie that I'm unlovable. So that's it. I'm not perfect, but I'm beloved and I'm accepted. And that's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. So it's been great hanging out with you guys. Grizz Tribe, I love you. You know, hit that grizzpodcast.com, get to that website, sign up for Jason's weekly growl. I think that's what it's called, the weekly growl. Sign up for that newsletter. You know, he's got an affiliate relationship with Covenant Eyes. Go to thegrizzpodcast.com and click on that Covenant Eyes banner. That'll give Jason a nice little reward. For referring you. If you need a good filter, a good accountability system for your computer or your phone, do that. Subscribe to the Grizz podcast, of course. But again, support Jason. Pray for him. He's been having a tough time with some of the effects of Lyme disease. So pray for him. You know, reach out to him. Tell him you love him. And that's it. Dobbers out. Peace.
You've been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries, Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin'. You know what I'm saying.